Viking Round Ball Podcast, a weekly look at Vinton County round ball action, Southeastern Ohio high school hoops, and any other topic that might be on our mind.
Yeah, this could get ugly.
The Viking Round Ball Podcast, presented by Rabies Homes and Rabies Auto Group, located 8 miles west of MacArthur, the Knox Insurance Agency, quality service since 1885. At Knox Insurance, insurance is our product, service is our business. Vinton County National Bank, your community bank and proud supporter of Viking basketball. DBK Media Services. Unlock your company or group's potential. Visit dbkmediaservices.com. MacArthur Super Value. Stop in today and find out how you can get $50 in free merchandise just for shopping with us. And now, broadcasting from a padded room. No, really. On the World Wide Web, here's your host, Carl Knox, and the head coach of the Vikings.
You know, and everything.
Matt Combs.
Well, welcome once again, everybody, to the Viking Round Ball Podcast, edition number 10. Lucky number 10. How you doing,
Coach? All right. All right, Carl. How you doing?
Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox. Wherever you may be, whatever you may be doing, we certainly appreciate you taking time to join us on the Viking Round Ball Podcast. Got another interesting guest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a good one. I have Rick Van Meter from Greenfield McLean. I'll be honest with you. I've always enjoyed Rick. I've always sort of looked up to him because I always felt like he was somebody that his temperament probably, or his way of approaching the game was probably like mine, kind of on the intense side. So I think as a coach, when you look up to guys, you always tend to look to guys who you can see a little bit of yourself in. So I've always enjoyed Rick. I'm excited to have him on.
Yeah, I know you really enjoyed him over there at the Combo those years that they had. What was that guy's name?
I didn't enjoy him too well. Then we ran into Dante when he was a freshman, and that was still all we wanted when he was in the ninth grade. And I think he scored 35 maybe against us, and they knocked us out of the district championship. And then we were fortunately able to get them a few years later in the district title game.
What, 08?
We had a great game plan. We waited till Dante graduated.
That's a big coaching move on your part there.
Then we lined them up again, and still only one by one, I think, or something like that. So it was, as much as I think I said this about Oz last week, these guys are fun to talk to, and they're great to learn from. They weren't much fun to play against, I'll guarantee you that.
Well, I'm kind of interested to see how the interview goes. I've never met Coach Van Meter, but everyone else that we've interviewed, I've known.
Right.
And I know that their demeanor sometimes on the bench versus away from the game is completely different. And asking you before we got into taping, I was like, what's Coach Van Meter? Because I always remember Rick Van Meter on the – oh, the facial. Yeah,
the intensity,
I mean,
right.
Oh, he was a fired up guy, and he's just a defensive disciple. I mean, the games, he seemed like a kind of, he could win a district championship, and maybe, their team might only score 38 points.
Right. If that's the type of team he had, he could do that.
He was definitely old school, and we're looking forward to that. If you have a question over the next week for Coach Combs, feel free to email us at vikingroundballpodcast@yahoo.com, or you can leave a voicemail message at the DBK Media Services voicemail line. That number is 740-569-3254. Well, yeah, you had a 13-day break going into the TVC road game over at Athens, and we were all a little concerned, but obviously the game last Friday night over at Athens at the McAfee Gymnasium didn't work out for the Vikings, as you guys suffer your first league loss and drop to 5-1 in the TVC Ohio, 7-6 overall, as the Bulldogs pull off a win over on their court, 46-37.
Yeah, it didn't. Very, very frustrating. I mean, I don't really even know where to start. I've spent the last few days sort of thinking about it a little bit. Now I've put it behind me because we've got games coming up that we've got to get ready for. But it's always frustrating when you don't go and play the way you think you're going to, or the way you've practiced. I mean, we came off of, like you said, we had a long break, but we really had, 10, 11 days in that break of just great practice.
Out of that 10 or 11 days, I'm guessing that probably, be it scrimmages or when we talk about going live in a game setting, a lot of those practices were trying to keep the kids' legs fresh.
Yeah, we were able to get up and down a little bit. I thought we really felt good about the way we were practicing. And we went over there, and quite frankly, just, you know, just didn't play well. And when you talk about not playing well, sometimes you run the risk of minimizing what the other team did. And I don't want to do that. I mean, Athens played well, and they had a game plan. They executed it, and it was a game plan that gave them a chance to win, and they did, you know. So I don't want to take anything away from them. But I think it's pretty obvious to, you know, to people that have watched us all year long, we certainly didn't play up to our potential. We just didn't execute some of the things we'd worked on. And I'll be honest with you, when that happens, you know, that's on me. That's on me. I've got to do a better job of getting my kids ready to play and make sure that we execute. And then, and you know, we'll learn from it. I've learned from it. And we've talked about it the last couple of days, and hopefully you'll see a change this week at home when we play Gallia and Megs. But give Athens, like I said in the newspaper, give Athens credit. They deserve a lot of credit. Coach Skinner did a nice job with his kids, and those kids did what they had to do. But we didn't. We're disappointed in ourselves because we know we're better than what we played the other night. And unfortunately, you know, we picked a bad night to play that way, and ran into a good Athens team. But we'll have to turn it around now and get ready for the next one.
Well, as far as scoring for Vinton County, Bryce Owens leads the Vikings with 16 points. Ryan Chester had 8, Jordan Kidd 7, and LB Ramey had 6 points, leading the way for Athens. Nick Stanley and Josh Skinner both had 11. Josh Maxton and Jared Elmore had 7 apiece for the Bulldogs. And you know, like you said, you do have to give Coach Skinner and the Bulldogs credit. I know when they came over here earlier in the year and took it on the chin by I think like a 25-point defeat, you know, Coach Skinner was not happy. He made no bones about it. Was very unhappy with his team's performance, and obviously I think that they learned from that loss and they were prepared. And I will say this, as far as the Athens fans and their student section, that was an environment over there, right. You know, and it's, even though we're on the losing edge, I'll give them some props on that when you play on your home court and you got a strong cheer block and a good supporting crowd in terms of parents and things like that, it does make it tough.
Yeah, I mean, it does. Excuse me. Yes, it does. You know, you got to give credit to them for setting up a really nice atmosphere the other night. And I thought their students were into it. I thought their kids fed off that a little bit. And we hope, you know, as we come home now for 6 games after being on the road for 8 games, we hope maybe we can get a little bit of that, you know, at our place now. We get a good student section and get some fans behind us. And maybe our kids will react much the same way and feed off that a little bit. You know, you were going through the scoring there. I thought we did some good things defensively at times. I thought overall we didn't play a really good defensive game because we didn't execute our game plan. We had worked a lot on certain parts of our pressure and things that we wanted to try to do to Athens. And I just thought we were a step behind all night. I can remember thinking on so many occasions, like, man, we're a step behind. We would have had a steal right there and a breakaway right. layup, you know, and we get a fingertip on it instead of a steal. We were just, like I said, just like a step behind. But, you know, we did some things. We took away the 3-point shot from them pretty well. I think that as a team, maybe they only hit 1 3. Is that right?
Yes.
We held Burrow in check, who's their leading scorer. But, you know, they did a good job. Give them credit because they had role players that normally don't score much for them step up and score. You know, Stanley had double figures. I think you said Elmore had
at 7.
7, you know. So they did a good job of getting some other guys outside of Lerman, Burrow, and Skinner, even though I think Skinner did have double figures. They did a good job of getting some other guys, you know, involved there to give them some scoring. And I know you look at it and say, well, you gave up 40-some points. The defense must have been pretty good. But it really wasn't in terms of what we had worked on and what we were hoping to accomplish. The pace was slow, and the score was down because of that to an extent. I don't think we were as good defensively as what we wanted to be. But like I said, give them credit. It's behind us now. There's not much we can do about it, and we certainly can't sulk over it because we have 2 basketball teams that are going to be hungry coming into our place this week.
Yeah, like you mentioned, you know, as far as the flow of the game, you guys were down 13-10. After the first quarter, and then you go into the locker room at halftime, down 2. You come out of the third quarter, you're still down 2, which I take that as almost a positive that they didn't come out and blow you out. And then in the fourth quarter, they doubled you up and outscored you 14-7. And like you said, you know, you guys started playing that three-quarter court press and kind of tried to make your run, and there was just some breakdowns on the backside of that in transition that, you know, whether Athens was a step quicker, or we were just a little too slow. I think that had a big impact. And then obviously the one thing that Athens did, and I think that was part of their game plan, is they really kind of took the three ball away, as you guys did not shoot the three very well whatsoever. I think you guys were only 6 of 23 for 26% from beyond the arc, and that really they went into that zone, and they had a hand in everybody's face on every pass, and it kind of, you could kind of just see, I don't want to say frustration, but it seemed as though I'm not picking on any of your kids individually, right. Collectively it was kind of like, oops, I don't know if I want to take this shot, and kind of almost fearful.
Well, we were definitely out of rhythm, and like I said, it's frustrating. You work on something all week and you think you're ready, and for whatever reason it doesn't work out. And we stood around a lot offensively. We didn't get a lot of penetration. We didn't get a lot of movement, either body or ball movement. And then next thing you know, that's what you get. You do that against a team like Athens. It's a capable team. It's a well-coached team. You're going to get beat. And that's what happened. But obviously, it's we're frustrated by it, but we're going to learn from it and hopefully get better from it.
All right, I'll quit beating you up on it.
Oh no, I mean, I'm used to it. I'm just joking.
No, I honestly, as much ribbon as I give you, I like to, in terms of after a loss, I do. They're small, very small, but small amount of sympathy for you.
Oh well, I appreciate
it. I have two rules with you in coaching.
I'm seeing a softer side of you, Carl.
Don't get too used to it. It'll change. Never call coach on game day.
Right.
Never call coach the weekend after a loss. I was scared. I was almost drawn up to text you yesterday and say, have you pulled a guest out of your hiney yet? And then, you know, we talked last night, and you admitted you'd been a little grumpy.
Oh, I think whenever you lose, you're a little bit frustrated by it. But it always helps me once I get back in the gym with our kids and have practice. And we didn't have, we didn't practice Saturday. We chose to practice Sunday because I felt like I could get more out of them after a day off,
right,
after a game. But so it's always rough sitting around that day waiting for your next practice. Once we get back in the gym and we start working toward the next opponent, then I'm always, I always feel a little better about it.
Quick question.
Yeah.
After a loss, be it a loss, and I know you've always said, I take every game one at a time. Don't look ahead 3-4 down the line. Knowing how much you are a connoisseur of watching film, scouting, right, taking notes, you know, you spend, I wouldn't even want to guess how many hours a week that you lay up at night and watch film on your laptop or whatever. But after a game, how often, if ever, do you ever bring the kids in following a game, be it a win or a loss, and say, guys, here's some things on film I want us to look at before we go on? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, sometimes you do. But unfortunately, when you get at this point in the season and you have so many games, if you're playing Tuesday, Friday, right, next week play Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, you just don't have a lot of time to do that. I mean, you might show them one or two things. We always treat the practice directly after a game. We always treat the first part of that practice as, okay, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? Let's work on that. You know, whatever we did wrong that game, even if it's a game we win.
Before you segue into the next opponent.
Yeah. Then we say, okay, remember last night, we didn't do this. We didn't do this. We didn't do this. So obviously, you know, after that Athens game, we had several things that we touched on at practice. Remember, guys, at practice, we talked about doing this, and then last night we didn't. Why? Okay, here, ask the kids. The kids respond a little bit. You reteach it, and you just go again. All you can do as a coach is just continue to teach and hope that eventually it clicks and we come together and we get it. We've showed signs this year, and we're looking for consistency, basically. We've showed that we can play, but we haven't showed that we can play consistently yet the way I would like to see us do. We've got 6 straight games at home now, and I'm hoping that maybe we can start that. You know, maybe, right, we can start some consistent play. But the thing of it is, we've got some tough teams coming in here, so we're going to have to play well. But hopefully being back home, our last home game was December 20th. So you're looking at over a month. It might even have been December 19th. I can't remember, whatever that Tuesday was against River Valley. And it's nice now to come back home and hopefully maybe get some momentum.
Well, 6 games left, 5 of which are at home, right?
7 games left, 6 of which are at home, yeah.
Well, as far as around the TVC, as far as boys action in the past week, we'll kind of get your thoughts on these scores from last Tuesday, January 24th. Athens beats Alex 52-38. Nelsonville handily over Wellston, 69-49. Jackson throttles Meigs 70-27. Then this past Friday night, January 27th, Nelsonville beats up on Meigs 86-58. Athens 5 better than Alexander 55-50. Then the kind of the shocker Saturday night. Meigs picks up their first win of the year as they win at home against Alexander 71-68. You mentioned it a couple weeks ago when you guys had to go down to Pomeroy to play Meigs. You knew it was going to happen. You just didn't want to. And I think the quote in the Athens Messenger, Coach Gabriel said the same thing. They didn't want, after they lost to Wellston, they, you know, he made the comment, we got to go to Meigs and we got to get on that game. And obviously it didn't work out well for the Spartans.
Yeah, you never. It's always nerve wracking. Coach Skinner and I were talking about that on the bench the other night. I hope he doesn't mind I say this, but on the bench before the game, he's like, "Boy, I tell you," he goes, "I wouldn't want to have to go to Meigs right now with them looking for their first win, because you know they're going to get it eventually, you know." And I said, "Oh, I hear you. You know, I mean, I'm glad that game's over, because you know I feel for Coach Gabriel having to go down there, because when you go down on the road, Meigs has always been a tough place to play.
Well, and they're playing back to back nights too.
Yeah, and you know they're figuring, Meigs is figuring, let's just put all our eggs in this basket and make sure we get a win. I'm sure Meigs treated that game like kind of like a, you know, an emotional big game for them in terms of trying to get off the snide and get that first win. So, you know, congratulations to them. You hate to see it for Alexander and Coach Gabriel, but you got to be happy for Coach Ewing and the Meigs Marauders for, you know, getting that first win. And, you know, they're coming to our place Friday, so I'm sure now they'll have a little bit of momentum, but so we'll have to play really well.
Well, we said it at the beginning of the year. Very doubtful that any TVC Ohio team would get through league play without a loss.
Right. Yeah, I don't think going into the year anybody thought they would. I mean, we started off well, obviously winning through the first round, but you know, this is just probably not the type of league where we knew going in that you could do that. So hopefully, you know, we'll learn from it and put that and be able to maybe use that to springboard us in. But there's a lot of basketball to be played. This league has a long way to go before it shakes out. We've got to take care of our own business, obviously. You know, obviously we still control our own destiny. We have to take care of our own business. We play 3 of the 4 at home, which is always nice. But at the same time, we've got some tough teams coming in, and they're going to want to get us the second time around. So hopefully our kids will be focused and ready to go.
Over the past week, the Lady Vikes win 2. Last Monday, they take care of Meigs 74-44. Then this past Thursday, January 26, Meigs with another TVC Ohio win 56-27. So the Lady Vikes tied atop the TVC Ohio with Athens. Getting ready for our guest of the evening, Coach right. Rick Van Meter. Got some Rick Van Meter trivia for you.
Oh, okay. All right, hit me with it. See if I can get it.
He was in a wedding.
Jeez. How am I going to know this? I thought you were going to ask me some basketball trivia.
Well, this has something to do with basketball.
All right, all right.
Guess who he was the best man for?
I have no idea.
Coach Jim Osborne.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Coach Rick Van Meter also played college sports. You know where he played? What sport did he play, and where did he play it?
Wow. Since you asked me what sport, I'm guessing it wasn't basketball. I'll say baseball.
Yep. Where at?
Let's say UC.
Nope.
Oh.
Rio Grande.
Rio Grande.
Okay. Guess who one of his teammates was?
Was it the Coach Pearson?
You're exactly right, Coach. I don't have a ready name. I don't know. I think they did play together. I don't think they're the same age. There's a couple years difference, but I'm pretty sure, because Norm was a catcher at Rio Grande, and I think that I know Rick played at Rio. He played baseball at Rio Grande. I don't know if I'm pretty sure that at least for 1 or 2 years they did play together.
Okay. That's interesting.
That had to be a fun baseball bus to be on.
Oh, yeah. I'd say you get the two of them together. That's a treat.
I really don't want to get. I would love to tell the story about how Coach Pearson met his to be father-in-law, but I don't know if I could get away with that.
You might want to leave that one alone.
Yeah, I better. Well, I'll tell you what, we got Coach Van Meter coming up here next on the Viking Round Ball Podcast. on the Viking Roundball Podcast alongside Benton County Boys Basketball Coach Matt Combs and Carl Knox. As I think we've snaggled another good one this week for our interview. Yeah. It's always great to not just hear great existing coaches, but also guys that are now retired and have been around the game for a long time and had a lot of success. And tonight, very, very glad to welcome in Coach Rick Van Meter, formerly of the Greenfield McLean Tigers. Coach, how are you?
Wonderful. Couldn't be better on a gorgeous day. I just got off the lake, actually.
Really?
Oh, man. I'm jealous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, you've been out of the business now. What, this is your second full season away from the game? How's that transition work for you?
Well, it's actually my third year away. There's been some parts it's tough, you know, when you go to your own games and sit in the stands and watch. But it's getting easier as the years go on. I know the last couple of years I was able to watch Dante Jackson play a great deal at Xavier and traveled around and followed him, plus watched a lot of games locally. And now Dante's graduated, he's at OU and as a GA, so now all I get to do is drive around and watch some of the better games in the area.
Well, that's good. You mentioned sitting on the sidelines. How hard has that been for you? Is it something you just try to stay away from, or it's something that you're conditioning yourself to, that you're going to continue to go and watch high school basketball?
Well, I think it's more the latter. The first year was more difficult, of course, and the last couple of years has gotten easier, but it was just a situation. I was kind of burnt out when I got out. The time had come, and it just takes so much out of you to do this job and do it right, the coaching job, and it was time for me to go.
Yeah, we were talking to Coach Osborne, I know who you know very well, last week, and
right. He
was talking about how it's been kind of refreshing for him to be around his kids and his grandkids and just – he said, he made the comment like his kids basically told him, when you were coaching, you were a different person in the wintertime, so obviously it's I guess it's nice to be able to enjoy some of the things you didn't get to enjoy all those other years.
Well, there's no question about that. My wife and I have been able to travel, and my son plays in a band at UC, so we went to all the home football games and then went to the Liberty Bowl to see him play. And so it's enabled me to go on a college campus and see him a lot and do a lot of things with my wife in the wintertime that I wasn't able to do, without question.
Yeah, definitely. Now, all the coaches we've had on here, and we've had a couple that are still doing it and a couple that have gotten out of it, going back to your days at Greenfield and your program, obviously I think a lot of people remember, the thing I remember as a coach is how consistent you guys always were. To get to that point, I guess, of that consistency, what were some of the staples of your program?
Well, I think the trademark of our program was always a defensive end of the floor. We were able to hold people in that 40, 50, never over 60 line, which was able to keep us in games. And sometimes we might be a little bit less talented.
Yeah. I that was the thing I think I've told people about your program was when you had a lot of talent, you really put it on people. When you didn't have as much talent, you still were competitive all the time. And I think that's where, that's the mark of, I think, a great program. You see programs that when they're good, they're good. And when they're bad, they're bad. You guys, just were never bad, it seemed like to me. I mean, you guys were always so consistent. And then when you were fortunate enough to have, some of those teams that really had a lot of talent, then you really took them a long way. But talking about the high school game, and you've done it for a long time. And we talked to Coach Oz last week about you started off as an assistant. I don't know if you started off, but one of your first jobs was an assistant with him, right?
Right. I spent my first 4 years working under him as a junior varsity coach. Yeah. But actually, before I did that, I spent a couple of years helping Carl Wolf at Racine.
Okay.
So I did spend a couple of years in junior high before I ended up with the job with Coach Osborne at Dow Police. And, that's huge for me to be able to work and play for Coach Wolf and Coach Osborne. I couldn't ask for an opportunity to work under two better people and learn the game from.
Well, it's really amazing. It's a credit to all you guys. And we were talking to Coach Oz, not only you, but Rick Van Meter. You put the three of you guys together, that's, you know, well over 1,000 wins, probably close to 1,500 wins. So Coach Oz was obviously teaching pretty good basketball back in the day.
Well, there's no question. You know, back in the 70s, mid-70s, when I had an opportunity to start with him, you know, I thought I knew a little bit about the game, but I found out I didn't. He just taught me so much about so many aspects of the game, and, you know, he's such a gentleman as well. Gives you an opportunity to do a lot of things. So, you know, a lot of coaching is luck, you know, the timing, being in the right place at the right time, and you know, I got a really good base from those two guys.
Coach, it's interesting. All the coaches, you know, as far as Coach Wolf, Coach Oz, Coach Caldwell, then, you know, we toss in Ryan Davis, who's kind of the younger generation, kind of with Coach Combs. But for lack of a better term, a lot of you old termers, you kind of all say the same thing. And I think about defense being the staple of success. You know, obviously we've done radio shows and podcasts where we've had Coach Pearson on here, and I know you guys go way back as well, and he would say the same thing. Do you think that a lot of coaches nowadays don't put the emphasis on defense that they should, because they get so enamored and caught up in the offensive side of the game?
I think so. I think, again, it depends on who you get started under and who you work for. You know, the old dinosaurs, is, you know, like you were talking about, you know, they always put the defensive end of the floor first. And I think if you're going to be a good tournament team, you have to be a very, very good quarter-court defensive team if you're going to go very far consistently year in and year out. I answer your question, young guys. I think there's some young guys around that still put the defensive end first, but there's not as many. I think a lot of that has to do with the college game. If you watch a college game today, it's just changed so much, it's unbelievable, and there's not that many programs that really are sound defensively.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think you're right, and I know you got a chance to, you know, with Dante playing at the next level, you saw a lot of high quality basketball, you know, in different conferences or whatever. But, you know, the last thing I'll ask you, and I'll kick it back to Carl, and we won't keep you forever, but the one thing I always ask coaches that, you know, that have coached for a long time, what parts of the game do you think, you know, in terms of changes, you've seen changes that you probably like, changes that you didn't. Looking back over your however many years you did this, what changes to the game do you think were the most significant to the game?
Well, I think it's definitely changed a lot. You know, the three-point shot has changed it. I think the way college basketball is played today and people watching it has changed the high school level and had effect on it. I think the way the game is officiated today has changed it. You know, it's so much more physical than what it used to be. Not as many teams running a continuity style offense that involves everybody, and there's not as many high school teams that play pretty much man-to-man defense. You know, they're usually multiples both ways, and you know, I think that's changed the game, and I think that's trickled down from a college level.
Coach, coming up here in April, big banquet every year up in Columbus, and fortunately for you, this year you're going to be one of the men, or one of the people of the hour, so to speak, as you are being inducted into the Ohio High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame. Obviously, that just has to be a tremendous honor to kind of put the icing on the cake on a very, very successful career for you.
Well, thanks so much. You know, it's an unbelievable honor just to be listed with people like Larry Jordan, Tom Cuppett, Carol Hawhey, who I played against in high school, was at Waverly, Hecky Thompson, it was down at Western. You know, that's just in the, you know, the Ross County area. You know, so I feel very, very blessed to just be put in the company or around those kind of people that I looked up to when, you know, I was starting, not only as a player but as a coach. But, yeah, it is a great honor. But I think one of the big things is, you know, it's not done strictly by yourself. I've just been able to build a program at Greenfield in which I had kept people around me. I know I had two junior high coaches that both spent
close to 20 years with me. I had a junior varsity coach who spent 25 of my 28 years with me, and I had a varsity assistant that spent 18 years. So when you have those people around you, and you know, it's special. So it certainly wasn't a one-man show on the sidelines of Greenfield, that's for sure.
Well, I've got one last question. I'll get you out of here on this. One of the kind of the humorous things last week when we interviewed Oz, he talked about kind of in the same light of having a lot of great assistants over the years, obviously mentioning you and Norm. But he was very quick to point out, and I'm just wanting to get your opinion on this. He was very quick to point out that obviously his demeanor on the bench didn't transfer very well over to you and Coach Pearson. Did you guys just kind of come up with your game habits on your own, or how did that happen?
Well, that's a good question. You know, Coach Osborne is so laid back, and then you watch Norman and I, and we're kind of wild people on the sidelines. Or I don't know. I guess the competitiveness that I have, and you know, coaching every possession, that's just kind of the way I went about it. It was my personality. I didn't try to be anybody else. I was just myself, and sometimes I was too active. There's no question about it. But I just got very involved in the game, and I think maybe that's why I got burnt out a little bit earlier than what some people do. You know, Coach Osborne, I think he could coach for 50 years. You know, he's just that kind of personality and laid back and easy going, but I'm not that way. So I don't know what the cause of that is or why I was that way. I just was.
Well, obviously, it seemed to work. You've obviously been not only successful in the wins and losses column, but it's a program that not only did you win, but as far as the kids that you coached, always very respectful, always well-behaved, just a class program. And obviously, as you go into the Hall of Fame here earlier and later in the spring, it's obviously a testament that you did a lot more things right than you did things wrong. We appreciate having you, Coach.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you having me as well.
All right, take care, and continue to enjoy that retirement, okay?
Oh, I'll do that.
All right, take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Back on the Viking Round Ball Podcast, always a pleasure to welcome in successful basketball coaches from around southeastern Ohio, both past and present, not only to get their thoughts, but so Coach Codins can steal valuable information. Boy, nice guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great to talk to, and like I said, I always just had so much respect and really admiration for him and his program, just to watch his kids play defense was something, I mean, I sat in the stands at times and thought, how does he get this much out of them? And I know that was always something we pushed, that I've always strived to do, is try to get that kind of effort out of our kids, because, I mean, they played so hard. But what a great career, you know, the longevity again, and to be able to win the amount of games he did. And you know what was really neat about him, too, is he found a place that he fit in and that really liked him, and he stayed there the whole time. And I think people around here know, by going to the convo and stuff, what a following they have up there.
Oh, there, yeah. I mean, they traveled.
I mean, it really
well.
Created quite a, I mean, it's something for all of us, I think, to try to emulate. You know, I would love to see, and we've traveled well when we go to the convo too at Vinton County, and it's just something that I think all high school programs should try to strive for, to get that kind of fan support and to get that kind of success.
Well, he obviously did it well with 472 wins, and again, going into the Hall of Fame, which is quite a feat in and of itself. A lot of people with winning records that are in this business that never sniffed the Hall of Fame up in Columbus, and that is a big deal. Dr. Ross, Dr. Moore, all the people at the Ohio High School Athletic Association, they put on a pretty good spread
right,
up there.
It's the Coaches Association in conjunction with that, and I know that, you know, Tom Barrick's our president, and he... obviously, I'm sure, you know, over the years, and, you know, he's, I'm sure they've had some battles. I know they were in different divisions, but I'm sure him and Rick have played. I'm sure at some point Greenfield and Willowsburg played, and, you know, he's our president. And last year, Larry Jordan got in, so there's a local guy. It's nice to get local guys in. You know, you don't get one in every year, obviously.
No.
You know, it's nice to be able to go up to that banquet and watch a local guy get put in. And so it's exciting for sure.
Well, moving ahead to the home, boy, it's finally. I think that no inclement weather in the forecast this week, and you know you had that Nelsonville game that was canceled a couple weeks ago. We thought that would be somewhat of a you know a homecoming game, get used to your home court again. Right. But I know you are probably the first to admit it is going to be fun. Fun or enjoyable to get back on your home court and get home fans back is tomorrow night, Tuesday, January the 31st. The the Gallia Academy Blue Devils, Coach Moore and his Blue Devils come up to our place, and that ought to be a good contest. Now, that is a triple hitter.
Right. Yeah, it's nice to be obviously coming home. It'd be nice if nothing else, not to have to get on a bus and go, you know, ride somewhere. But, I think the kids are looking forward to it. Hopefully our student body's looking forward to it, being able to get out and have their student section and support us. And, you know, Gallipolis is a team that, you know, we've got to play well against. You know, they've had, you know, I know they've had a little bit of a rough year, and mainly, and a lot of that was due to the fact that they lost their best player to an injury about midway through. And any team that does that, that's a blow to them. But, you know, the thing of it is they play an awfully good schedule. You know that within their league and non-league. So, you know, their record's a little deceiving from that standpoint. So we've got to be ready to play. They've got a couple kids. They've got a nice big post player, and they've got a guard that can really shoot it. And, you know, so and Coach Moore's going to have them ready. So hopefully our kids will be ready. I know bouncing that back from this Athens loss, you know, that's the thing I'm concerned about, making sure we come out with energy and toughness and all those things you got to have. And we've had a couple good days of practice, so hopefully we will.
Yeah, they definitely play a tough schedule out of the SEOAL, and they played some tough non-league schedules. And kind of Coach Moore has similar styles to Coach Osborne, which he coached under for several years. Always bring a pretty sound defensive team. You know, they might lack talent or, you know, some skill sets on that end, but always a team that plays hard on the defensive end, and it'll be a win for Vinton County. But, you know, not just wanting a win, I think one thing I'd like to see as just Joe fan is our kids, for lack of a better word, getting some confidence back.
We need to play well, obviously, and the thing of it is we're going to have to play well to beat them to begin with, but we really need to play well, and we really need to, like you say, get some momentum in terms of consistent play. I mean, we need to play well for a 2-week period of time. You know what I'm saying? And we've been over a month on the road, and it just seems like we'll gain a little bit of momentum, and then we take two steps forward and a step back, so to speak. You know what I mean? And hopefully we can gain a little bit of momentum, because this is the time of year you want to do that. Obviously, you're in the stretch run of your league play, and then everything you do right now affects your tournament seeding and situation too. So if we're going to start kicking it into high gear, now would be the time.
Well, and I think that's a result of having an experienced team as far as varsity playing time. You know, you look at the kids predominantly in the 6-7 man rotation you have, you know, with the exception of Ryan Chester. You know, Jordan wasn't here last year. You know, Bryce has stepped up a lot, obviously stepped his game up from the JV level into the varsity level, and he did get some varsity time last year. But you're seeing those kids kind of grow up a little bit, and part of growing up is facing adversity.
Yeah, you've got to, you know, I guess until you've been through something, it's hard to handle. So every experience that we have right now as a team is something hopefully we'll learn from. And I told our kids the other day, though, you know, at this point in the season, you know, you're probably not going to see something that totally surprises you. You've pretty much seen just about every type of defense, every type of offense, every type of, you know, every type of situation. You've seen a tough crowd on the road. You've seen a good crowd at home. You've seen, you know, so at this point, they're just, the inexperience shouldn't be playing such a role. So hopefully with these home games coming up, we'll start to see a change.
Coming up Friday night, TVC Ohio league matchup with the Meigs Marauders. We mentioned that earlier in the podcast as Coach Ewing and the Marauders travel up here. We got them down at their place last time, but the bad, scary thing is they pick up their first win over Alexander. Right. Obviously, was a Smith kid, kind of a big man in the middle for them, and they like to kind of get after you, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, they obviously they're going to be feeling a little bit better about themselves after getting their first win. So, you know, that's going to make our job a little tougher. And, you know, they'll come over here, I'm sure, and be ready to play. And hopefully our kids, will be too. You know, we went over there to their place and we sort of had our way. And what you worry about, you hope your kids aren't overconfident. That's something we'll be talking a lot about this week. I'll guarantee you that. And you hope your kids, you hope your kids listen to that and do what you ask. But yeah, I mean, anytime you're playing a league game, it's so crucial to be ready every night. And obviously, we talked about that Friday was a step back in that department. So we've got to really come out. Obviously, you know, we're focused on Gallia first and because that's the next game. But when Friday rolls around, we've got to really be ready, getting back in the league play.
Now, is that a triple header Friday night or a double?
That should be a triple. I mean, they have a freshman team. And okay. So, yeah, it should be three.
So five, it'll be a 5 o'clock right. Freshman tip, both right. Tomorrow night and Friday night as well. And also get a little props to Coach Sowers and the freshman team. They went down to that tournament?
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I forgot to mention that last week. Colgrove. They went down to Colgrove High School, right. Played in a tournament down there, freshman tournament, played three games, and then they won the first two, got into the finals, and got beat, I think, by Greenup
Kentucky. Yeah,
and they had a real nice team. I know going into that game, Coach Sauer said, man, our hands are really full in this one, but they played well. I think got beat by 10, really competed. So, it took three long bus rides down there. So that's good for that freshman team. That'll help them grow up a little bit. And Coach Sauer's doing a great job with them. That group had some trouble in junior high, but you know how it is. You get a year older, a couple kids that maybe didn't play in junior high come out and play, and you start to gain confidence. So congratulations to our freshman group.
And our junior high teams, both 7th and 8th grade, they continue to do very well here. I have not seen them play, but everybody who has says you need to get out to the middle school and watch them play.
Yeah, we're really excited about our young talent in 7th, 8th, 9th grade coming up through there, and even our JVs. It's just, we've got a good program top to bottom in terms of talent. And as a coach, that makes me feel good. And it's really a credit to the youth basketball people who we had on at the beginning of our podcast year, right. And one of our first ones. It's a credit to those guys. It's a credit to junior high coaches. So it makes my job easier to have some kids to choose from as they come into high school. So we're excited about the future of the program for sure.
Well, we look forward to you guys winning.
Yeah.
Two, hopefully, this week.
Well, like I said, nice to be home. I know if nothing else, it's nice to be back in the friendly confines. So we'll see how we do, but hopefully our kids will respond.
Well, as much as you enjoy the home court, I'm sure you're still going to have that intense look on your face tomorrow night, just like you do when you're on the road. But nonetheless, it will be good to have the Vikings home again tomorrow night, January the 31st, Tuesday. Triple header with the Gallia Academy Blue Devils, freshman tip at 5 o'clock. Then coming up this Friday, the Meg's Marauders come to town, Coach Ewing, and that also is a triple header. So all Viking fans, look forward to seeing everybody out at Vinton County High School for some good hoops action. And coming up next week, we'll have another interesting guest. I know Coach Combs knows exactly who he's going to have.
Oh, I've always got it lined up. We just never let the cat out of the bag.
You ever thought about politics?
No. Can you imagine?
That's true. I can see you kissing babies or shaking a lot of hands. You get into the food, but the full of caca component of
I
it.
I might
you,
have that.
Yeah,
down,
you got that
I'm
one down.
I'm not nearly likable enough to get a lot of votes. So
I have to agree with that. Coach, thanks for your time tonight.
Carl,
glad to see you smiling again, and appreciate everybody listening to us. If you do have an email question for the coach, again, feel free to fire it to us at VikingRealmBallPodcast@yahoo.com or leave a voicemail message on the DBK Media Services voicemail line. That number 740-569-3254. For Coach Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time on edition number 11 of the Viking Realm Ball Podcast.
You've been listening to the Viking Realm Ball Podcast, presented by Ramey's Homes and Ramey's Auto Group, the Knox Insurance Agency, the Vinton County National Bank, DBK Media Services, and MacArthur Super Value. Follow our podcast on Facebook at Vinton County Vikings Basketball. Or subscribe to this jewel.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
By dropping by dbkmediaservices.com. The Viking Realm Ball Podcast, your destination for Vikings basketball on the World Wide Web.